You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Pure horror. Maddie Soto, just 13 years old, slept in the bed with mommy's live-in the night before her murder. This as disturbing details emerge about the crime scene. And well, that's not all. Shocking prison emails go back and forth between the suspect, mommy's live-in lover, and they seemingly blow this case wide open. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Madeline is 13 years old. She has been missing since 8:30 on Monday morning when mom's boyfriend dropped her off near Hunters Creek Middle School. He dropped her off actually near the Peace United Methodist Church on Town Loop Boulevard.
Okay. All right. So she was supposed to be dropped off at school, didn't make it to school.
Didn't make it to school. I went to pick her up from school today, okay. And she never came out. They announced it over the speaker, and I'm just like, maybe she walked here, because sometimes she'll walk here to this office. Mm-hmm. I came here, nothing. I went back to the school, they were closed. I got a notice, an email from the school saying she was absent, but I also messaged her teacher, and he looked at her entire attendance today and saw that she was completely not at school today either.
Okay.
So she never made it.
Okay. What's her name?
Madeline. M-A-D-E-L-I-N-E.
M-A-D-E-L-I-N-E. I-N-E. Last name?
Soto.
S-O-T-O?
Yeah.
Is it just me? Am I projecting? Or is everybody just a little too calm in that video? That's Madeline's mother and the live-in standing behind her like, what? What? Why is everybody so calm? Maddie is missing, and she has been missing for a considerable period of time when that happens. Now, hold on. I want you to think about what you just saw with the backdrop of new evidence we are learning, and that is that mommy's car went back and forth to where Maddie's body was dumped before it was discovered. Let that sink in. Mommy's car went back and forth between the home where little Maddie slept routinely with mommy's boyfriend alone to where her body was dumped. It's caught on surveillance video. Who was driving it? Don't know. But it was mommy's car. That I do know. Now, I want you to hear from the horse's mouth. Listen.
Is this like, does she like have any places that you guys know that she'll be usually be at? Any friend's house? Any places that like she likes to hang out?
Not typically, no.
Not typically?
No.
Okay. Just give me one second. Let me see if I get some.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, we don't have any idea where she might be. Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now. First, I want to go out to Shannon Butler, investigative reporter, WFTV 9 on this case from the beginning and giving me a lot of information I'm not getting from the outside looking in. Shannon, thank you for being with us. Shannon, in addition to disturbing descriptions and details we're getting about the crime scene, I'm floored about how often the suspect, which some people are describing as Maddie's stepdad. He's not her stepfather. Let's just be clear about that. How many times he would sleep in the bed with her, but that's a whole nother can of worms. I want to talk about the evidence regarding mommy's car going back and forth. Then we'll get to all of Stearns, the suspect, the murder suspect, all of his emails whining from behind bars about his food, his mattress, the walls in his cell. Really? Really? But first, let's talk about that car. What do we know about that vehicle? Listen.
Shocking new revelations in the Maddie Soto murder investigation. Investigators release information about Stephen Stearns and tracking the silver Lincoln he was driving. But now, detectives say they tracked another vehicle, a white Nissan owned by Maddie's mother, Jennifer, making an identical trip as was made in the Lincoln from the apartment to where Maddie's body was found. Detectives don't get a clean look at the driver, but the Nissan was driven from the apartment to the body in the middle of the night, 12 hours after Stearns was seen driving his Lincoln to the same area.
Okay, straight out to Shannon Butler joining us, investigative reporter WFTV9. Shannon, what can you tell me about Mommy's car going to the location where Maddie's body is ultimately found?
Well, we don't know who the driver is, and that, of course, is one of the biggest questions we get right now is who's driving that car. The running theory is that it was Stephen Stearns that went back to the alleged scene of that crime. But there is so much speculation and doubt surrounding Madeline Soto's mother that it's hard for people not to question whether or not she was behind the wheel and went back down to that same location where Madeline Soto's body was. At that point, that body would have still been in that area because it was days later before they found her. So it's hard for us, because investigators didn't get a good look at the driver, to figure out who was behind the wheel. But there are a lot of questions. Could it have been Jen Soto?
Okay, Shannon Butler, you just said, Shannon joining us, WFTV9, you just said with so much suspicion swirling around Maddie's mother, we're talking about 13-year-old Madeline Soto, found dead. She had been sex assaulted. I was counting back the years, maybe to age 9, that we're getting conflicting reports on that, by Mommy's live-in. It's very difficult for me to believe Mommy had no idea what was going on under her own roof. Even sending her daughter to bed with her live-in lover. Oh, excuse me. He alternated between the Soto home and his own mother. What was he, just living down in the basement there? Anyway, so much suspicion around the mom, as we are hearing from Shannon Butler. But the mom is not a suspect. The mom is not a person of interest at all. It's entirely possible the suspect, her boyfriend, was driving her car back to the scene. And, you know, that's a really interesting question. To Tim Jansen joining us, high-profile criminal defense attorney, former federal prosecutor, and analyst for the Tallahassee Democrats newspaper, joining us from the Florida jurisdiction. Tim Jansen, why do criminals go back, circle back to the scene of the crime? I always think of Scott Peterson. How many times did he go back and look off into San Francisco Bay where he dumped his wife, Lacey, and their unborn son, Connor? He's tracked. There's a GPS monitor on his car. Ding, ding, figure that out. And they would track him going back and forth where he would stand gazing out there, what, to see if her body had washed up yet? And we're seeing the same thing here. He goes back and forth to where Madeline's body is. Why?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Brian Kohlberger did the same thing after the Idaho murders. He was there the next morning. They go either looking for their trophies, watching what they did, or they're trying to cover up and see if this crime has been disclosed. So the curiosity, the adrenaline they get, maybe trying to cover something they felt they forgot, or going back to see if the police have found their bad deeds.
I think it's the adrenaline. And they want to find out who's looking. Have I been discovered? Kohlberger's a very good example. And you know what else, Jansen? The returning to the scene, a good defense attorney like you will argue, well, that means nothing. Tell that to a jury. Okay, Jansen, go ahead and tell the jury it means nothing when a suspect goes back and forth to the scene of the crime and just stands there and stares. Well, to me, I'm not a shrink, but it means something to me. I'm getting off track. There's so much happening in the Madeline Soto case right now. I've got to get to all of it. But right now, remember, we're trying to determine who was driving Mommy's car after Maddie goes missing and before her body is found back and forth to where the body is ultimately found.
How about, does she have like Apple Watch?
She's got a device, the only device she's got on her right now is her school laptop.
Her school laptop, is that trackable?
I don't think so.
It should be. If the Wi-Fi is turned on, it'll try to connect to new Wi-Fi.
Everybody's so calm. I'm not going to speculate on why they're so calm when Maddie is missing. Let me go to an expert with me, Robin Drake, behavior expert and former FBI special agent. Wait for it. He was the chief of FBI Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program and author of Sizing People Up, a veteran FBI agent's manual for behavior prediction. And you can find him at peopleformula.com. Robin Drake, I told you about the time when I was looking for organic suntan lotion in a baby superstore and was like all down on the very bottom shelf, bent over double looking to try to find it. I turned around and there was Lucy, but no John David. I started screaming. I put her under my arm like a football and started running toward the front of the store because there were all glass windows, screaming, help me find my son, lock the doors, my son is lost. Okay, hey, but that's just me. So am I projecting or are these two calm as a cucumber?
No, you're absolutely right. They are way too calm as a cucumber, as you say. And the car and who's driving it, to me, is a smaller part of a whole in this entire case. I'm shocked that Madeline is the entire circle around her and that the mother hasn't been charged yet, because this, to me, every time we have a child that's been abused, every time we have a child that looks like they may have been even part of something greater than just one single pedophile, I think there's a network involved here, and I think there's going to be a lot of tendrils that go out, and I think that's why the investigation is taking as long as it has, and there's as many witnesses going to be called, because I've been involved with cases.
Okay,
where,
wait a minute. Robin Drake, hold on just a moment. What do you mean a network is involved?
So every time you have a case like this, Nancy, where you have a potential sexual predator, if it's a serial sexual predator, which he's been doing this a number of years, says that he might be serial, you can have an upwards of 200 to 400 children that have been affected either through trafficking of their pornographic images or of them themselves. And so a lot of times these investigations take a long time to ferret out who's actually involved. And so every time you see a behavior arc of not just the individual of Stearns, but a network of entire family members potentially acting very nonchalant about this, it gives investigators a lot of leads on where to potentially look to see how far this network goes.
Teen-year-old Madeline Soto murdered, sexually abused by mom's boyfriend.
And that's kind of putting perfume on the pig, isn't it? Sexually abused. We're talking about dozens and dozens. I think, Shannon, how many sex-related videos and photos were found on Stearns' mommy's boyfriend's phone? How many? Ballpark.
Hundreds. Hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds. There were videos, there were pictures. Hundreds.
Okay. And I think it's actually in this new data dump we're getting, which, of course, you are the one that alerted us to that, Shannon Butler, and thank you. There are literally thousands, 1,700 explicit sex photos of Madeline, thousands on Stearns' phone. Where was a mommy when all this was happening? Why do we know it's Madeline that's the child victim on the phone? Because in charging documents and other data we have reviewed, the victim is described as a child and the incidents, the rapes, occurred in the home. Madeline's home. So who is that? It's a girl, it's a child, and it's in Maddie's home. And it's Stearns, who is charged now with 60-plus sex-related charges. So saying she was sex abused, that hardly describes what this child went through. Now, we also know that according to the documents, we've just gotten a huge data dump, the molestations, these videos on his phone, some reports are that they go back to 2019. There are other dates stated as well. 2019. She's 13 when she's murdered in 2024. This makes her 8 or 9 years old when these videos started being taken of her. So she's not just getting raped. She's not just getting potentially sodomized. He's videoing it. How many times do you use your husband's phone or, you know, grab your child's phone? You don't see anything on there when there's nearly 2,000 of these videos and photos? Okay, that said, take a listen to this.
Stephen Stearns slept with Madeline Soto and her mother on a regular basis. Some nights, Stern would sleep with Madeline without her mother present, including the night before she was murdered. Jennifer Soto tells Maddie she has a really bad headache and tells Maddie to take Stephen Stearns and go sleep in an upstairs bedroom.
I got a headache too. In fact, it's spreading to my teeth now when I hear that. It wasn't just once in a while. It was all the time. And that's not all. Listen.
Stephen Stearns and Madeline Soto's mother, Jennifer, broke up briefly in late 2023. Even while they are broken up, Stearns would sleep at the Soto household in a bed with Madeline. A woman who dates Stearns during his breakup with Jennifer claims Stearns told her he had to sleep with Maddie, cuddle with her so she could go to sleep. The woman stopped talking to Stearns after he tells her of waking up with an erection while in the bed with the child.
Our friend Nicole Parton from CrimeOnline.com really said that like she's reading the weather report or the Farmer's Almanac. Hold on just a moment. Shannon Butler joining me, WFTV9. No offense, Nicole Parton, but what did I just hear? Did I just hear that even after Stephen Stearns, the murder suspect, had broken up with the mom, what, he broke up with her, really? He would come back to the home to sleep with little Maddie, to cuddle her, to get her to sleep, and then he tells the new girlfriend he would get erections in bed with Maddie, and it was so disgusting. The woman broke up with him. Did I just hear that?
You did. You did hear it. And we had even asked, like, did that woman ever report that to police, to anybody? And she didn't. You know, at the time, I think she was just trying to get away from him. But these are the things that just continue to come up. And everybody in that, you know, interview process seems like this is just normal, right? Well, you know, she slept with him when she, you know, needed to get to sleep. It was very, very strange for us hearing that about how, like, this was just everyday business.
Okay. I really occasionally am speechless. And this is one of those moments because I'm thinking about the life that Maddie Soto endured in the home. Age 8 or 9, mommy's boyfriend starts raping her. There's not a nice way to say, oh, he slept in bed with her, he cuddled her, they had sex. That is a lie. That's rape under the law. And we cannot turn away from the black and white letter of the law. A child that age cannot consent to any type of sex conduct, just like they can't go buy a car or liquor or cigarettes. They don't have the mental capacity to do that. Joining me, Dr. Jory Crossan, renowned psychologist, faculty, St. Leo University, consultant with the Blue Wall Institute. And you can find him at Dr. Jory, JOREY.com. Dr. Jory, does any woman really need a man that badly? Really? Just let me think about it. My sister used to have a t-shirt that said, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. And that really stuck with me at about age 8. So what is a woman willing to do to keep a man?
Well, it goes to his ability to locate or find a woman and establish a relationship that has a child, okay? You see this in the pedophilia behavior numerous times. And one thing you want to look at is the age when this started and then how it ended with the homicide. They have preferred ages that they're attracted to and that they will maintain a relationship with. But once the child starts to age out through puberty or starting to develop, they'll usually start to look for another access to another child in their preferred age. That's a very common pedophilic behavior.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm trying to decipher what you're saying, Dr. Jory Crossan. You're the shrink. I'm just a JD. But I think you're saying certain pedophiles go look specifically to establish a relationship with a woman that has a child the age in which they're interested. Is that what you just said?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, but I appreciate that, and it's a phenomena I want to explore with you. But I'm asking you, how badly do you need a man? I mean, after all, no offense to you, but what can they do that you can't do? Why do you have to have him sleeping with your daughter under your own roof?
Yeah, let me address both of those. The man has that ability to whatever it takes to provide to the woman to get access to the child, he's going to provide.
Provide what? This guy didn't even work. Did he work? Hold on, Shannon Butler, did this guy have a job or did he basically hang out in his mom's basement in his spare time?
Yeah, that's pretty much what he did. He played a lot of games.
So what is he bringing to the table? Nothing. Why does she need him? Back to my question, what is wrong with these women that they keep child molesters in the home?
I've seen hundreds of those cases and I've looked at the lethality of live-in boyfriends to children, and it's phenomenal, you know, because mothers don't protect their children. I'm in Florida. This case is in Florida. I'm in a different judicial circuit, but we have regularly charged mothers with failure to protect.
You know what? That's exactly the charge. That's exactly the charge I'm thinking of, Dr. Jory Crossan. Failure to protect. Again, Maddie's mother has not been named a suspect, has not been named a person of interest. The reason we're even talking about her right now is because her car is spotted on video going back and forth to where Maddie's body, 13 years old, is found just dumped. Remember this. Remember Maddie kept telling all of her friends when she turned 13, she wanted to leave home and go live in the woods? I wonder why. Listen.
Our missing persons detectives responded to take over the investigation. So they did interviews with mom's boyfriend, Madeline's friends from school. We were able to access Madeline's phone, and there is information on the phone that indicated that she told people when she turned 13, which was on February 22nd, she actually wanted to go live in the woods. So that was in her phone.
Investigators believe the female seen at 7:36 a.m. in the surveillance video in the front passenger seat of Stephen Stern's vehicle is Madeline Soto's dead body propped up and buckled into the seat to appear as a living person. But closer inspection of the video shows her head leaning toward her shoulder with her mouth open. Stern's is caught on surveillance video again at 8:19 a.m. when he is seen entering the front security gate of the neighborhood with a female in the same position as the surveillance video captured at 7:36 a.m.
I don't want to gloss over that as we race toward the newest developments, including the suspect, mommy's boyfriend, whining behind bars about his mattress, his food, not having the right spoon, the walls in his cell. We also have emails that are emerging from his mom back and forth to him, knowing full well they're going to be read about how somebody else, she is involved. More crime scene details that reveal the nature of this crime. But to Shannon Butler joining me, WFTV, I don't want to gloss over the fact that Madeline's dead body, this 13-year-old girl that has been being raped and sodomized since ages 8 or 9 under mommy's nose, her dead body is propped up and buckled into the car. Did I get that right, Shannon Butler?
Yeah, and that was part of his story, right? So he goes in and out of that apartment complex, which they did in the morning on the way to school. So that way, if any of the neighbors or anything saw him drive out, it wouldn't be unusual for Madeline to be buckled into the seat. What he said to us and to investigators is that she slept on the way to school. So he was working that, it appears, into his story about how he took her to school and she was asleep. But he did. I mean, according to investigators, buckled that seatbelt and let her sit there, leaned over. It's just unbelievable, really.
I mean, Tim Jansen, criminal defense attorney, he is actually tailoring a very intricate lie, stating that Maddie fell asleep on the way to school to cover up the fact that she's leaned over with her eyes closed because she's dead.
Yeah. Science, technology is going to undermine the cameras that were seen. Clearly, this guy's the evidence on the phone. He's a pedophile. He committed a sexual terrorism on this child. The mother certainly had to know something or see something. The apartment was very small. And to allow a child to sleep in the bed at that age is just, it seems more like Maddie was an annoyance to the mother than her actual daughter.
Guys, what more are we learning now? Well, for one thing, and I'm going to circle back to Dr. Eric Eason regarding the years of sex abuse, how that can be determined from an autopsy, or if it can be determined. But to Shannon Butler, I want to talk about his whining emails from behind prison walls. He complains about everything from his mattress behind bars, not getting enough food. I have never felt a full stomach and have, in fact, forgotten what that is like. Really? There's never a time these days when I don't feel hungry. Have you heard of the vending machine? The cell is small and filthy. Well, how was your mom's basement? You could still be living there if you hadn't murdered Maddie. The mat is flat and has very little cushion left. I bet it was nothing compared to sleeping in the bed with Maddie. Those are a few things you can think about, Stearns, before you send any more emails. Shannon Butler, what is this guy saying from behind bars?
You know, that wasn't the first time, right? When he was being transferred between jails really early on, he first started complaining about that first night that he spent in jail, that he had to use the toilet paper roll as his pillow. That was the beginning of his complaints. So we expected when we saw his emails that he would start complaining more about how the treatment is there and that how it's, you know, it's not so comfortable behind bars.
Okay, Robin Dreeke, former FBI special agent, expert in behavioral analysis. Robin, as soon as we finish on air, I want you to run right down to the jail with an allergen-free puffy, bouncy pillow so he can get a good night's sleep. What? He can't sleep because of his pillow? He shouldn't be able to sleep because Maddie is dead. And he's whining about his pillow? You know, this isn't the first time, Drake, that I've seen murder defendants and later convicted whine about their pillow, their food, their diet, their amount of exercise. He's charged with a murder and, in my mind, a lot fewer sex charges than are established. Because if I've got 2,000 photos and videos, and most of them of this little girl on his phone, he needs to be charged with every single one of them. And when he's convicted, they all need to run consecutively. There. And he's talking about his pillow, Drake?
Yeah. And I also don't think it's going to be the only person they'd find he's done this to. You don't go from 0 to 100 in this kind of case because he's going to have a track record established of this. He's got a lifetime pattern of self-centeredness and me, me, me. All his primal urges and despicable behaviors have obviously been placated for such a long time that he's got a level of expectation that the world will continue to service him. And it just leaks out of him at every single turn. And so that's what we're seeing in the jailhouse. That's what we're seeing in all these communications. He's completely shocked that it doesn't happen.
What about this? Do you see a pattern of behavior of getting taken care of and whining and expecting everything to be handed to you? I mean, he's still technically, even though he's living with Madeline Soto's mother in their apartment, which a lot of people thought this was a home. It's an apartment, which makes it much smaller. My point is, how could she not know what was happening? He's living with her and he's living with his mother. He's not working. What is he doing? Everyone is giving him a place to stay, food to eat. I don't know how he made his car payment. Maybe mommy made the payment for him. But now, same thing, same behavior carrying over behind bars. Mm-hmm. Whine, whine, whine.
Yeah, it's, you hit it exactly right, Nancy. It is a lifetime behavior pattern, behavior arc of complete self-centeredness and narcissism. And it plays out in everything. And even with his girlfriend that he had dated briefly, he's testing that water by saying, hey, I slept and had an erection with this little girl. You know, I think that's a test to say, hey, could I manipulate you into my circle because she aging out. I mean, it's a lot of conjecture on my part, I know. But at the same time, though, this is what he does to his entire environment. He manipulates it for his own gain. And he's got such lifetime reps at it, is it? He looks completely fluid and natural doing it because this isn't his first time in life or is his first rodeo doing this.
The state seeks the death penalty for Stephen Stearns in Madeline Soto's murder case.
Is that a surprise? With 2,000 explicit videos, the majority, we understand of Stephen Stearns performing sex acts on a child that lives in Maddie Soto's home. Is anybody surprised that Florida is seeking the death penalty? I'm not. But to Dr. Eric Eason is a renowned board-certified forensic pathologist, a consultant. Dr. Eason, we know that her body was discarded out in the open, but in an obscure area, which is not hard to find in Florida. There's a lot of untamed land, swamps, inlets in Florida. How can a medical examiner tell if this was the first time Madeline had been raped or not? And with her body lying out in the elements for several days, would that preclude such a determination?
Well, that's going to make it tough. If the body's been there for a couple of days and in the heat in Florida, you're going to have the evidence of decomposition, which is going to obscure some of the findings that you're going to have at autopsy. But, during the autopsy, we're going to determine the cause of death, but also assess for evidence of sexual assault. And so evidence of the acute sexual assault would occur when the swabs are placed in the various orifices to check for DNA that's there and to compare from DNA from the suspect.
Please do not say that, Dr. Eason. We don't all have medical degrees like you do. When you say they're going to swab Maddie's orifices, you are talking about euphemistically describing her mouth, her vagina, right, and her anus to see That's if right, she right. was raped. Hold on. Shannon Butler, WFTV, how long do we think that Maddie was lying out in the elements before her body was found? How many days?
I think it was 5 days.
Okay. I thought it was 4, but let's go with 5. Dr. Eason, how would 5 days out in the elements affect the determination of internal orifices, such as vagina or anus?
I mean, you can still insert the swabs and collect any evidence as time goes on further. It's going to be have less of an ability to collect that. But I think you're also asking about remote sexual assault, and that's going to be very tough to determine after 5 days out in the elements like this.
Can I just boil it down, Dr. Eason, in a rape kit? I know that if there is vaginal tearing, if there is bleeding inside the vagina or the anus, that may suggest a recent rape.
That's right.
How would you be able to tell if her body had been found immediately, whether she had been raped in the past.
Well, you can look for evidence of old bruising or old abrasions. When bruises start to age, the color will change. And so if you find evidence of a yellow in a bruise, it indicates the bruise is older as compared to an acute bruise. So you can check for that. That's definitely one way to check for like an older right. type sexual assault.
So we may not be able to tell from her body that she had endured molestation for years if it weren't for this idiot's phone that reveals these thousands of photos. To Shannon Butler, WFTV9, I want you to listen to this. Emails between the murder suspect and his mother, in which she suggests someone else, a female, is involved. Listen.
Stern's mother is saying things like, quote, "We all know blank was heavily involved in this, and I am disgusted that she's free and you are not, when this is not all your fault. You need to think about yourself more and her less. She sure isn't thinking of you and how she can help you right now. That whole family is willing to stay quiet and let you take the fall for everything."
Shannon Butler, WFTV 9. What?
Well, I think that we expected some of this from his family members, that they would start putting some of the eyes back on Jen Soto. What we didn't know is if he had told them something that we didn't know yet about if she was involved or if she wasn't involved, or if they're just doing this as the show, right? Everybody knows these things become public and that everybody would be able to see what they were saying. But this was not a surprise to any of us who have been working this story, that the family would start to raise some questions about Jen Soto and if he was taking the fall for her.
While the search for Madeline Soto is ongoing, investigators ask if they can take a look at Stephen Stern's phone. Stearns then informs the detectives he accidentally performed a factory reset on the phone the same day Maddie went missing. A factory reset can't be done on accident, has to be delivered, as it requires multiple steps by the user to ensure that it doesn't happen by accident. Thousands of images, sexual photos and videos, mostly of Madeline, were recovered and led to the 60 additional charges against Stephen Stearns.
Over 60 charges, but over 1,900 explicit videos and photos. I want to find out something else. Shannon Butler, investigative reporter, WFTV 9. This is an apartment, not a home, as many people thought. So how big is the apartment? I'm trying to gauge what was going on and what the mom should have known. Do you know?
Well, it's not very big. It's kind of like a townhouse. So there's an upstairs and a downstairs. But there were other people, like the night of her disappearance or murder, there were other people in the home, but there was, you know, there was bedrooms upstairs, but there was also some kind of makeshift kind of bedroom that was kind of cordoned off downstairs. And there was a lot of question about if that's where, you know, Madeline was sometimes laying. So the home is very small. If you're talking about what could you hear or not hear in some kind of house, it is fairly small. I mean, it's an average townhome.
You know, I want to ask you something else before we sign off. It's my understanding that Maddie's friends tell police that Maddie was constantly being texted and called by Stephen Stern, the boyfriend. Back to Robin Dreek. That's textbook. It's classic. I trust my children, but when I see them on the phone all the time, or they're on a video all the time, I go, "Who are you talking to? Who's that?" Don't you think it's odd? Nobody wondered why the boyfriend was constantly calling this little girl and texting her?
Yeah, constantly isolating her, controlling her environment. It's what these horrible sexual predators do. And that's exactly what he was doing, Maddie, the entire time. You know, and as for the mother making those comments via text, too, in an email, I don't care what it is. You know, as an investigator, I'll put my investigator hat on for a second. If you're opening your mouth like that, I'm now looking at you, too. So... I think this is a network of really abhorrent behavior by a lot of people, and he just happens to be the point of the spear we're going to take down first, and I think we're going to save a lot of people in this one, I'm hoping.
Dr. Jory Crossan, a renowned psychologist, joining us, faculty, St. Leo University. Another thing is, I noticed that Stephen Stern states that He was the one who would comfort little Maddie when she would get into an argument with her mom. Okay, there you go. Coming between the child and her parent. That's textbook, Dr. Jory.
Yes, it is. It's that dependent personality that on the mother. I mean, she's very dependent also. You can see that relationship and the dynamics where she readily turns anything over to him dealing with the daughter. You know, it's not a good attachment and bonding, maternal bonding there.
If you know or think you know anything about the Maddie Soto case, please dial 407-846-3333. Look at your Ring camera footage. Think back on the day that this occurred, Feb 26, 2024. Where were you? Were you in this vicinity? Police are still putting together this case. And as you heard Robin Drake state, it may be more far-reaching than we initially believed. But right now, there is nothing we can do for Maddie Soto except seek justice. That number, 407-846-3333. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
Neu in der Deutschlandcard-App. Sammle Punkte mit deinen Kassenbons von DM, Rossmann und vielen weiteren Supermärkten und Drogerien. Einfach Kassenbons scannen, punkten und sparen. Jetzt gratis mit der Deutschlandcard-App.
You're listening to an iHeart Podcast.